WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are just...
And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Welcome to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way. Hang out and chat, follow the channel, listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We are 1 week away from 6/23/22/10, which means Ask the Rock. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show. And Lindsay Ward questions, you can email the media at wildtalkradio.com. We'll answer anything you want. We'll answer them live. We'll take them live as well. Do all the things. Because it's Ask the Rock next Thursday night when we do 10. But tonight we have a thing to talk about.
We have several things to talk about. So we're going to go in order of said things. And there are specific things that are not going to be discussed right now. Because they are pure speculation. And nobody is 100% sure on what is going on with them. So until certain things are confirmed, we are not going to talk about them. Just as an FYI, in case you're looking for that kind of news, we're trying not to do that here. However, the confirmed stuff we're going to talk about all day long. So
yeah.
I say we don't watch... Don't waste any more time. Let's just jump into the news. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And when I say it was a banner week in the news world, it was a banner week. Like, here we were thinking, oh, it's going to be a quiet week. Like, nothing's going to happen. We're going to do a late show. We're going to have fun. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Because Jeff Hardy,
Mr. Nero,
bless him, said, hold my drink.
Literally.
and decided to make news. This is an unfortunate story. I hate that we have to report this, but unfortunately, Jeff Hardy was arrested for DUI, among many other things, including driving without a license. When he did his breathalyzer test, he was almost four times over the legal limit, so they took him to jail. This is his third offense, which is a felony, and he was charged with a felony in the state of Florida. This all happened Sunday night into Monday morning, and he was in jail up until, I believe, Monday evening when they were finally able to get him out. He has not been arraigned yet, as far as we know. Nobody has reported that he's been arraigned, but he's at least out of jail and at home, presumably.
All right, so here are the details. He was charged with drunk driving on a suspended license, violating restriction which required him to have a DUI interlock device in his vehicle, along with being having a DUI. He was like 0.291 or 2.94, something around there.
It was a 0.29, which is
that's not good. That's
when the legal limit is 0.08.
You do the math.
Yeah. It's a lot.
This is his third DUI in 10 years. He was released Monday night on $3,500 bond. And then on Tuesday, AEW put out this statement. We were able to resume contact with Jeff Hardy this afternoon. AEW does not condone Jeff's alleged behavior. We made it clear to Jeff that we will assist him in getting treatment for substance abuse issues, which he has indicated that he's open to receiving. In the interim, he is suspended without pay, and he can only return to AEW upon successfully completing treatment and maintaining his sobriety. If you or a loved one needs help, please reach out to the National Helpline, 1-800-662-HELP.
It's a nice little statement from Tony. I will ask, I don't think people are doing it now, but when this happened on Monday and Tuesday, I would ask that everybody calms down and stops attacking the family. You don't know the whole story there. You don't know who's doing what, so please don't make assumptions. Please don't call people enablers. Please don't attack people simply because of hearsay or your personal opinion. They all live with Jeff. They are all doing what they're doing, and it's their private business how they're helping him. Okay? First of all. Second of all, everybody that was pissed that it took AEW so long to make a statement on Jeff Hardy, y'all need to chill. They were not going to do anything until they had all their ducks in the row, including talking to Jeff.
Yeah.
That's the big thing, because the last thing you want to do is announce to a recovering addict on Twitter that, oh, hey, by the way, you're suspended without pay, F you, without talking to him first, because they did have to have a serious conversation with him and find out everything that was going on and find out what his next steps are.
Yeah.
That's the key. So until Tony Khan had that information, he was not going to make any kind of statement. And I promise you there is likely not to be any additional statements on this story.
Nor should there be.
Nor should there be. The only statement I really want to see is that Jeff is sober and happy and healthy and living his best life. That's it. That's the only statement we need to know. Anything else that happens from here is private.
Jeff has kids. Jeff should be thinking about his family and being there long-term for his family. So he should get himself together, clean his act up, and hopefully realize, oh, hey, I have issues. And I'll say it like this. Going to rehab may be a step for him, but I think he needs more than that. And no, I'm not talking about jail time. He needs to correct his demons. He needs to talk out his demons. That's the kind of help I think he needs.
I'm sure it wouldn't hurt, but sometimes those demons are just really, really strong, and sometimes you just never get past them, and I hope that's not the case for Jeff.
No.
I hope he can find a way to get past them, but I had a cousin who had substance abuse problems, and he could never get past it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And we ended up losing him as a result of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an incredibly powerful and difficult thing to overcome. And I think the sad thing is that it seemed like Jeff was doing really, really well for a very long time. He kind of had that bottom out where he hit rock bottom way, way back in like 2007 or 2008 or no, well, it was later than that.
It was 2011 when all the things happened with TNA Wrestling, which we'll be talking about later.
Where the very infamous Sting match happened between Jeff and Sting. And that was kind of a wake-up moment for him. And he left wrestling for a while and he went and got himself together and he got himself clean and he kind of climbed that hill again and he was doing really, really well. And he would have relapses here and there, but for the most part, it was not to the extent of what we had seen in the past. And it seems like potentially that he's gotten past a drug addiction, which is fantastic, but unfortunately, alcohol is still getting him. And I hope that he can get the help he needs. I don't know what help he needs.
But the album talk, he needs to talk to like a therapist and some or something. Like he needs that type of help. He needs to talk it out.
Oh yeah, I don't, if that's what he needs, but here's the thing, he could already be talking to a therapist. He could already be getting that kind of help. We don't like I don't want to say, you know, he's crazy, he needs a therapist, cuz I don't know.
No, it's not crazy. It's, you can tell he's struggling. And that's what the sign is. Everything, all the actions and everything like that point to he's struggling. And there are ways to get around it, and talking it out and is one of them. If that's not what he wants to do and he wants to cope in other ways, that's fine. The behavior, him getting caught, is... It sucks that we have to keep reporting about it. It sucks that this is the time he got caught, because we know it's not the... This is not a rare occurrence. It happens often for him.
It kind of gives credence back to last year when Jeff walked out unceremoniously of a show and he was let go from WWE. And basically they offered him rehab at that point because they saw some troubling signs with him. And they were like, hey, why don't you get some help? And he was like, hey, F off. And so they parted ways and Tony Khan signed him. And I'm not throwing any blame or any judgment, but over WrestleMania weekend, Jeff was caught intoxicated multiple times, which is concerning.
They were concerned about his drinking, yeah.
And I think they were watching him, but it was kind of something that as long as he kept it under control and didn't essentially do this, there wasn't really a lot they could do. Because he's not consuming an illegal substance. He probably was not showing up drunk to work. Or if he was showing up drunk, he was functional. Because I doubt they were making him take breathalyzer tests. I don't want to accuse him of showing up
drunk. I don't think he was showing up to work drunk. No. I think after doing certain things and going through the physical toll. And we've said he sat here. And Lindsay and I have... as I watched it going, why is he doing these things, meaning these stupid spots on television that he doesn't need to do? He's damaging his body, and the way he's coping is through drinking, and that's not the way you cope. You go back and you watch him come to the ring on Double or Nothing, and there were signs of him being in physical pain, and he got concussed, and There's been a lot of issues with him, and he's physically banged up because he's put his body through a lot.
And this was supposed to be, I think, his final run. I think he and Matt were going to hang it up after they were satisfied with this run. It remains to be seen if Jeff will be back. I think just for me personally, and I do not want to project this on him, that maybe walking away from wrestling for good might be a good option for him. At the very least, walk away for a year and let your body heal. Because he's in his 40s, he's put a lot of wear and tear on his body just from all the crazy shit that he's done throughout his career. And so it makes no sense, number one, to continue doing that. Like, I understand that that's what people expect of Jeff Hardy, is to go off tables and go through... you know, or go off ladders, go through tables, take chair shots, do the swanton off the screen, and all this other crazy shit that he's done, right? That he's known for.
Yeah.
But at some point, you got to kind of stand there and go, sorry.
They're the warning signs right there. You have to go, wait a minute, wait a second. Maybe we need to think twice about it. That was good timing on that. So yeah, like the
warning... We aim to please here. Sorry, it's storming here. I'm sorry.
It's fine. But no, the warning signs have been there, and he's a risk taker, and he has been his entire life, whether it's been in the ring, out of the ring. You know, he's a daredevil. It's how he's grown up. So his body is broken. Yes. I don't know.
But maybe it's time to sort of hang up the daredevil ways and just kind of move forward. That's all I'm saying, or that's what I was going to say. And again, I do not want to project, right? I do not want to force my opinion on him. I don't know where he's at. I don't know him personally, but it's like at some point you just kind of, in everybody's life, for all the stupid shit that we did when we were younger, because I'm old, you kind of got to stand there and go, I can't do this anymore. It's like, I can't drink like I used to. I can't do stunts like I used to. I can't do whatever like I used to. And at some point you either do less of it or you just walk away from it. And maybe that's it. I don't know. Not projecting, but like I said, I hope Jeff gets the help he needs, and I hope he's okay. Because that's all we wish for Jeff Hardy, is for him to be okay and happy and healthy and living a good life with his wife and his children. Yeah, sorry, that is the Storm Radio, everybody. That's what that was. It's literally 5 feet from my desk, because this is the only room where it gets reception in my house that I'm willing to have it, because I don't want to have to walk far in the middle of the night.
Okay. So that's
Jeff Hardy. And then Vince McMahon decided he was going to top that.
Okay, so here's the story. The Wall Street Journal reports the following. The Board of World Wrestling Entertainment is investigating a secret $3 million settlement that the company's CEO, Vince McMahon, agreed to make to a former employee over an alleged affair. The separation agreement, which was signed in January, is meant to prevent the now former employee from discussing her relationship with McMahon or disparaging comments about him, according to the Journal. An email sent to the WWE board members on March 30th indicates that the 76-year-old McMahon hired the former staffer, 41, on a $100,000 salary and then gave her a raise of $200,000 after the start of the alleged sexual relationship with her. The report, citing documents and the accounts of people familiar with the board inquiry, said the board's investigation began in April and has uncovered other non-disclosure agreements over the years involving misconduct claims from former employees against Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis, WWE's head of talent relations. The email sent to the board regarding the former WWE employee, who was hired as a paralegal in 2019, alleged that McMahon gave the woman to Laurinaitis, quote-unquote, like a toy. The board is investigating the email's allegations. The report said the Journal reported that the board has retained the law firm Simpson, Thatcher, and Bartlett to conduct the investigation. The payments of other non-disclosure agreements outside of the one involving the former employee have totaled in the millions of dollars. The Journal reported that a WWE spokesman said that the company is cooperating fully with the board's investigation and that the relationship between the paralegal and McMahon was consensual.
Okay, so number one, if it was all consensual, or actually, let me back that up. I think we've all, on some level, yes, she was helping him with his briefs. On some level, I think we all knew this was going on, right? This is not the first time that Vince has been accused of an extramarital affair. Information about an extramarital affair has come out. I will say, I think this is the first time that I've heard about somebody working in corporate. But again, I'm not terribly surprised by it, because we were all figuring this was happening. It's also worthy of noting that Vince and Linda really have not been publicly seen together in quite some time, indicating that the marriage is probably just on paper only at this point. Like, Linda basically went to go work for the government, actually go work for Trump, and like, that was it. Never came back, kind of thing. So I think we knew this was going on. I will not, aside from it being somewhat inappropriate in the office, just from working in office culture, it's inappropriate. If it was consensual on both sides, I cannot fault it. It would be one thing if he abused power. It would be one thing if he had forced her. But from all indications, this was fully consensual on both sides. And when she left the company, they basically were like, okay, we don't need you talking about this. We don't need this getting out. So here's a shit ton of money and an NDA.
Yeah.
Which honestly, I can't fault. People have images that they want to protect. And also, it's protection for her, because for her to come out and publicly, like, basically say, oh, well, Vince McMahon and I had an affair and tried to ruin him, that may not go well for her. So, although she's welcome to try, go for it. What I find very, very fascinating about the story is that it was a friend who emailed, I guess, somebody on the board and made them aware that this was going on.
Yeah.
Or that this had happened. I'm very curious as to what position that friend was in, because here's the thing. I could probably email the board of directors for the company that I work for and be like, and accuse somebody high up in my company of a sex scandal. I doubt they would believe me. So either this person is very high up in the company that made the tip, or they went with evidence. Like, basically, they had the receipts at that point to back up the fact that, oh, hey, by the way, Vince McMahon totally banged this chick. Or actually, I'm sorry, Vince and John Laurinaitis did this. They paid her off, and then they signed an NDA. or had her sign an NDA. Okay, I'm going to sidetrack because of what Brent said. So Brent said not sure what position the friend was in, but I think we know the positions the paralegal was in.
Brent.
Number one, that's inappropriate. Number two, so somebody found the Zillow listing for Vincent Linda's condo that's up for sale in Stanford right now. There's a see-through bathtub in it. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, moving on.
Vincent Linda McMahon, back when he was on Pat McAfee's show, referred to her, my wife at the time.
I think they're still married.
They're legally married, but not together.
They're separated. Like, I think Linda basically had enough and was like, peace out. I'm going to Washington. And Vince is like, fine, whatever, I don't care. But yeah, like, I can't fault him. I really can't. Aside from the fact that it is grossly inappropriate to do it at work, which he knows, but he's the owner of the company. I can't fault it if it's consensual. I can't say anything bad about it if it was consensual. Now, passing her off to Johnny Ace, and Johnny Ace basically happily taking Vince's sloppy seconds. That's where I kind of have a problem. Because number one, why would you? Number two, this affair has happened in what? The last conservatively 2 years? Give or take, I think.
What?
They were together?
This whole thing? Yeah.
It's been
a couple of years, yeah.
It's been in the last 2 years?
Yeah.
So John Laurinaitis is married to Mama Bella.
Yeah.
This is going to get really damn awkward. That's all I'm going to say, if she didn't know about it. Because he's out here being the head of talent relations and having extramarital affairs with paralegals. And he was the one that actually raised her salary. It wasn't Vince. Mm-hmm. It was Johnny Ace that doubled her salary. And then Vince was the one that did the payout of his own personal money and had her sign the NDA. What they're doing now is they're looking at the other ones because they found other past records of this happening, several, which is horrifying. And they're investigating all of them to determine, number one, were they all consensual? And number two, if there were payouts, which there were company funds used or were they issued through private funds? Because if Vince paid everything personally, then really the board can't do much to him beyond scold him for inappropriate behavior and possibly ask him to step down. But he's the owner of the company. He has the majority voting stock and he can just tell them to F off if he wants. Like they could try to take him out. I don't know if they will. Mm-hmm. Like Vince isn't going to lose control of WWE that easily and he's not going to just roll over. John Laurinaitis, on the other hand.
So, Johnny, we wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors.
Yeah, I think he's about to be fired or asked to leave. He's very clearly going to be the fall guy in this, whatever the case may be. Because he was involved at least once, if not multiple times. I don't even know if AEW would touch him.
He's not going to go to AEW. Like, just because you leave WWE, you're not going to AEW.
I wouldn't take him just because of all the talent that are there. They wouldn't want him there.
They want to get away from Johnny Ace, according to all accounts.
But also, I find it very interesting if you look at the timeline of this and how this has all kind of played out, that Triple H had his health issues, or Shane McMahon had the fight with Vince, in quotations, and he was removed from everything. Then Hunter had his health issues or announced about his health issues, and he kind of stepped down from things officially in March. And then Stephanie stepped away in May, and now here's the stuff with Vince. And it's speculated that because the investigation was going on at the time of Stephanie stepping down, that Stephanie did it kind of as a result of the investigation because she knew this was coming. And it was a board investigation, so it's likely that she recused herself from that investigation because she has a vested interest. This is, again, me spitballing. I'm not in the room. I don't know what she is actually doing, but this is her father. This is the owner of the company. She obviously has a conflict of interest on multiple levels, so it's better for her to step back from that and let them do their thing versus trying to be involved. And I think Hunter possibly did something similar, where it's, we're just going to go hands off on this. I'm just going to say it. It feels like a corporate, like, hit job a little bit.
It with everything that's gone on in the last year and a half, it kind of plays into it. Like, there's all those warning signs and all the things that happened. Yeah.
Like, there's been a lot of upheaval in WWE, more so than we've ever seen, especially on the corporate side. Like, you've seen a lot of executives move and a lot of people leave or be let go. And you're seeing them shift people around in the corporate structure. And we're talking long-term employees, people that have been there for 30 years. Have been let go and sent packing because they're moving people into different positions. They're going younger. All of this was done with Vince's blessing. And now I think they're kind of moving up the pole a little bit, but it's difficult to take out someone like Johnny Ace. And that's the wrong phrase. I apologize, but it's difficult to go for someone like that because he's basically in Vince's pocket. He's one of Vince's boys, right? It's like Johnny Ace, Kevin Dunn, and Bruce Pritchard. I feel like that's the inner circle for Vince McMahon, with others involved. But those are the main three mainstays, and they have been there forever. Like, forever. Like, Bruce has come and gone.
So is Kevin. So is Johnny.
So is Johnny, but, like, Kevin Dunn's been there for, like, 30 years. But, like, that's kind of Vince's inner circle. Those are his boys, and it's very difficult to just... You know, for Nick Khan to go to Vince and be like, I want to fire Johnny Ace, especially after the whole accusations flew against Mark Carano and the whole trash bag incident and everything like that. And I'm sure Johnny Ace got a rap on the knuckles for that, but that's probably all he got, if he got anything. But, like, Nick Khan just can't go for Johnny Ace. He needs something else. He needs something concrete, something that he can basically go to Vince and be like, he's got to go. And, like, info dump on Vince.
Yeah.
And with this coming out and Johnny Ace being specifically named in it and no one else, because it also makes you question how many of other of Vince's inner circle were involved in this and no other names have come out, it feels like a corporate hit job. It really, really, really does. It feels like somebody in WWE wants Johnny Ace out. And so they're going for him. That's what it feels like. Because again, it's the whole anonymous tipster thing that makes me wonder. And we're never going to see the emails, right? Like, it's never going to happen. We're going to see the email that was sent to somebody on the board or the entire board of directors that basically says, hey, I've got this, but you would have to have a very serious allegation and you would have to go with evidence to get them to believe you.
Mm-hmm.
And you would also have to get HR involved, because I doubt, like, a board member would just be like, oh yeah, sure, let's investigate the owner of the company for a sex scandal. No, that's not how corporate works. It would be corporate, it would be the board, it would be HR, it would be all kinds of stuff, because they know who it is. Like, they just didn't send it on a blank email. You would send that, at least I don't think they would.
So one final piece of this story, and this it kind of maybe has something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, on last Friday, according to the New York Post and Page Six, the Vince McMahon memoir was being shopped around to publishers.
Oh, that helps. Excuse me. Sorry. Hmm.
Interesting timing.
Don't hurt it. Just that kind of stuff's in there. I mean, it's just...
Just throwing that out there, casually.
Just spitballing that?
I saw the story. Oh, yeah. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe the people knew he's trying to sell a book, and they're like, hey, we have our own story, so here we are. So, yeah, that's Vince and all the...
We'll continue to follow the story as it progresses if we hear anything else about it. Like, I'm sure at some point somebody will leak the board findings. But in terms of people thinking that this could possibly remove Vince from power, again, it's likely they could ask Vince to step down, due to inappropriate behavior. But with the power and control that he has over the company, I very much doubt that will happen. If anything, Vince will probably just get a scolding if he even gets that. And the only person that is likely to suffer any consequences would be Johnny Ace, or anybody else that is involved in the investigation findings, because we don't know if anybody else is going to be involved. So we'll see how that goes.
We're going to see how that goes, yeah.
Okay, so continuing on with WWE, because they had a banner week of their own. WWE announced the new NIL class. Triple H appeared at the NIL convention where he made the announcements and gave a pep talk to the recent signees and just hung out with them and had a good time.
Yeah, I think it's a class of 15.
So, which is good.
Yeah, so who knows? If you get one or two out of the class, that's Always good. Yeah.
Troy Two Dimes Donovan, NXT star and part of Tony D'Angelo's group, was released mysteriously over the weekends due to a policy violation. Nobody is sure what that is, but he is eligible to be brought back within a year.
That's kind of the deal, yeah.
It's a mystery. Extreme Rules has been announced for October 8th.
Right here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
You gonna go?
No.
Why?
I don't wanna go.
Go. You should go.
No.
You could totally go. You could take a WTR sign.
You hear no one brings signs because everyone's too busy on their phone.
You could bring a sign. Brock should go to Extreme Rules.
No.
You'll be social.
No.
Go out into the world.
Wait. Can I? No, I don't even think I could.
What? Go?
Yeah, I don't even think I would be able to go. Anyway, that's a story for another time. But it's in Philly, you know, on a Saturday night. So you know what that could mean. We'll probably be live afterwards.
Probably, yeah. And last but certainly not least, Paige announced that she's departing WWE in July. They have opted not to re-sign her. So she is moving on. She's very excited about her future prospects and where she could end up. There is no word on if she's going to wrestle again. A lot of people want her to go to AEW and start wrestling again. I think she has to get her neck cleared before she can do that, because she said she is not cleared. However, she feels really, really good. So once she gets the clearance, she will get back in the ring.
Hey, Matt, ask it for next week. Tweet it. I'll answer it next week.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a really good one. You should totally do that.
Yeah, and send it next week. I'll ask it. I'll answer it then.
Okay. Well, with that, I say we take our first and only break of the evening. And when we come back...
Sounds like a good idea.
We will be doing the TNA Wrestling 20-Year Tier List. That's right, we are celebrating 20 years of TNA Impact Wrestling. And so we're going to be ranking some of the stars, past and past.
It's all past. It's things people we've watched. Not people
we've watched
not
over people the last 20 years.
Yeah, and they're all not on there that we've seen. We limited it to enough.
We limited it to a very tasteful list of 44. So
a nice round number of 44.
You know, just 44. Anyway, we'll get to that. So you're listening to Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night
event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked.
What?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner. Six. 23. 22.
Hey everybody, this is Joseph Falk from Impact Wrestling, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
If I'm the defendant, guilty!
And we're back to the Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Or to our friends over at MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. Oh, man, that music takes me back. Just sitting here, just, like, rocking out to it secretly, because I love that music. Anyway, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty. I don't have a lot this week, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Dan's Gaming. Rick Astley will never let you borrow any DVD from his Pixar collection, apart from one. He's never going to give you up. Kayla Braxton. For those who keep asking why I drink so much wine, sadly, I have a condition where my body doesn't produce its own alcohol. Therefore, I have to take a supplement. That's so sad. Can we get 5 gifted subs for that? Anyway, that's all I have.
Okay, now I only have one tweet.
Sorry.
Whoever Switchblade faces, whoever faces Switchblade the Forbidden will be determined by a 5-man round robin, and all starts in Rampage with 2 qualified matches to enter the tournament to get in on New Japan Strong File, because, you know, tournaments, convoluted tournaments.
Yay tournaments.
Yay tournaments. That was mainly for Brent. That was a very condensed Tweet of the Week. Twitter, be funny. Stop being serious.
Right? Damn it.
Like, Twitter is very serious lately.
I need the funny haha again. So with that, let's move on to the TNA tier list. This is no offense to all the amazing, awesome, fantastic talent that has passed through TNA over the last 20 years.
So NWA TNA started on June 19th, 2002.
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
But we're concentrating on the era that we watched. Anyway, go ahead. Thank you.
It makes me old. It's when I graduated from high school. It makes me old. That's this Sunday. Anyway, here we are. Go through some of the biggest names we've watched over that time. We are not talking about brother, man, because Lindsay hates the brother, man, because she only had, whenever she did recaps, it was all brother. Correct?
Not a lie.
So, we're not doing the Moose, because we really didn't watch the Moose. Sorry, Brent. We're not talking about Moose.
We're kind of focusing in on the 2000, basically when it was on TV. So, from about, I guess, 2005, 6 to about 2010.
A couple 2002 slipped in.
But for the most part, it is mainly from when Impact was on TV.
There is no Sports Entertainment Extreme.
No.
And the likes of that. That did not make.
Because I never saw that.
I understand. Good.
Wait. Hold on.
That was the Vince Russo group.
I think we forgot somebody.
Who did we forget?
James Mitchell.
I mean, we're focusing on a wrestler. He wasn't a wrestler, to be fair. Anyway.
The National Weather Service can stop issuing fucking warnings now. I would appreciate it because I'm trying to do a goddamn show.
Not Judas Macias, not Relic, which is killer spelled backwards, not Ken Shamrock. No. We have a list of 44 people.
No, I'm going to fucking argue this. James Mitchell, the core, like he's the core of so many goddamn groups and storylines. He's Abyss's dad.
How do I edit this thing then? Chat, how do we edit this thing? She's going to be pain. I got to edit this thing. Hold. I have to be on the right account. God. All right, hold on. We're going to edit this thing. Talk and stretch and tell them some of the people we're talking about.
It's not a spoiler. It's like 10 years old at this point. Wow, that is a really... Wow. Those are some young pictures of James Storm and AJ Styles. Like, wow.
I mean, yeah. Because it's focusing in on their run, right?
Sure.
That's the idea of this, is to focus in on that time period of when they were...
And it's the impact zone with the tunnels.
Yeah. You realize, I went and picked out the pictures specifically for the air.
This is my first time seeing this. And you told me to talk to the damn people.
I know.
So I am commenting on the imagery.
I'm conversing. I'm conversing with you. What?
Which is, that's the original,
yeah.
Universal one.
For which, for who?
For, when they were on Fox Sports South.
For which people?
Impact. That's the, like, the background picture.
Oh.
That's the original. It's not the fairground set. It's when they went to Fox Sports South and they moved to Orlando.
Oh, in the banner. Yeah. All right. We're almost set. Not Mike Tenay, not Robbie. Best wishes to Don West because he's having...
We love you, Don West!
He's having issues.
He's having a time.
So, not the Rock and Rave Affection, no. There's the ad about it. Called, you have to be on the right account to do the things. So, we do this, and we hit submit, and you're going to need a refresh.
Hey, look at that! There's James Mitchell!
And not Tessa Blanchard or Topco or Tyrus. Nope. You had all time to, you know, submit these names. You're waiting till now to do it. Anyway, we're going to get into the tier list now. We're going to S to D because we couldn't think of a clever name. So pick a name. Let's start.
All right, let's start at number one, The Naturals. Chase Stevens and Andy Douglas.
Oh, they were a group.
What makes me really sad was they are, but as at this point in their careers, respective careers, they were stupidly talented, like stupidly good, stupidly talented. And it makes me so sad that they never went anywhere. Like that's going to be kind of the comment for a lot of people on this list because they had some amazing talent on this roster, unfortunately, and it just never went. A lot of them didn't go past Impact. Some of them did.
Did they ever make it to Orlando?
The Naturals? Yeah, they were in Orlando, but they weren't...
They weren't Spike TV Orlando, I think.
I think they might have been Spike TV once.
Yeah.
But Andy kind of had a little bit of a fall apart there, and they never made it. Like, once they had the run with Candido, that was kind of it.
Yeah, that kind of ended it.
How are we ranking this, by the way? Just like S through D?
Yeah.
C. I'm going to give the Naturals an A.
I said C.
Wow, you're mean. Can we split the difference and say B?
Yeah, I can concede to that.
Because their run wasn't long, but they had a really, really, really good run in the Fairgrounds days. Like, it was them, Triple X, AMW, and I want to say the New Church?
Mm-hmm. Disciples of the New Church.
That, like, they made that division really, really competitive, and then you threw some other teams in there, and yeah, it was just, I mean, I can give them a B.
See, the reason why I say C is just with the talent we're going to get to, they're not there.
Yeah, no.
That's why I was leaning C rather than where you wanted to go.
I mean, I liked the Naturals. I thought they were very talented.
I know. Next person on the list.
Wrestling Jesus. Jerry Lynn.
He's another one. He was like the pioneer of the X Division. I think that was his tagline, right?
Mm-hmm.
I put him as a B as well.
I can give Jerry Lynn a B for his, specifically for Impact, right? Like overall, for his overall career, he would be much higher than that. But for his run in Impact, because he did a lot of work behind the scenes as well for the company. In terms of working with the talent, in terms of being a producer, just all the things. Like, Jerry Lynn was very instrumental in Impact Wrestling for a very long time. For stuff that you didn't see.
Yeah.
Ron Killings.
Brent, was Shamrock first or was Killings first? I think it was Killings was first. NWA champion for TNA, I think. Waiting for him to... I'm waiting out the delay on that one. He was either one or two. I forget which order it was.
No, I thought Jarrett was one.
No, Jared was not one. Jared took it off of Killings, I think. So Killings was... Because Ken Shamrock was like the big to-do when they brought him in because he was fresh out of WWE, like a couple of years out of WWE and stuff like that. Between being Ron Truth Killings and everything, and then the stuff with Three Life Crew and all, like... If you look at the picture, right? He still has an age, and that picture's 20 years old. Shamrock and then Killings, okay. R-Truth hasn't aged in 20 years. The hair might be different, but the face is still the same. He's a B or a C.
I could give him a B. Just because, like, Impact is really where he rebuilt his career. Or built his career because he had been in WWE and they kind of, like, cast him out.
The K-Quick run did not go so well.
Yeah, the K-Quick run did not go so well, and so that's where he could prove, that's where he really proved himself was in Impact, and they signed him back, I think, as a result. So, yeah, I can give him a B. Alright, Sanjay Dutt. One of the workhorse talents of Impact Wrestling for a very, 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 very fucking very long time. Saw a lot of things through with that company. He went through the dark times, or he was there during the dark times. And, you know, I always wanted better things for Sanjay. Like, I really did. I always liked Sanjay. And I always felt bad that he never went further than what he did in Impact. Like, I know, you know, not everybody's going to do everything. But I always liked him, and I thought he could do more.
C.
He's a C. I'm trying to say really nice things about him, because I'm going to be like, he's a C. Because I think the only titles he won were the X Division and the tag.
I believe so. Like, and he's a nice guy and all the things and stuff. It's like, you know, it is what it be. But yeah, he's a definite C, and you know, he was a former guest of the show, so.
Very nice man. Very nice.
Alright, who's next?
Monty Brown, the Pounce.
Everybody about to feel the pain. Period.
Monty Brown was one of those really weird talents because he was like the face of the company. Like, he came in and they were pushing him hard to the moon, and like, he was like all the things to that company, right? Like, all the things. And then they went down to Orlando and he was out. He was just like, I'm done. And he walked away. And I think it's because he got signed by WWE.
Yeah. But,
so, and then he was never seen again.
Marcus Corvin. Oh. He's a B or a C. Like, he had all the potential to be an S and an A, but he's a B or a C because his run wasn't as good as it should have been.
It was very short.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, is once they were able to secure a good TV deal, he was gone within the first few months of them having that. Like, he got scouted and WWE was like, hey, come on over. And he was like, okay. And sadly, it just didn't work out for him. So I would put him at a... I don't want to make him a C, because he was, like, the face of the company, but, like, he was such a blip on the radar, though.
C. Top level C+, but C.
Yeah, like, low B, high C.
Yeah.
He's kind of in between. He's like a B.5.
What's a B.5?
It's like between B and C. It's a B.5.
That's called a C+.
Don't argue with me. All right. Team 3D. Impact run only. Not whole career. Impact only.
B. Like, they had a successful run.
Yeah, I can give them a B. Was the funeral segment with them?
I believe so.
Yes, the funeral segment was for Team 3D when it was AMW feuding with Team 3D.
Right.
You know what? Honestly,
That's when they broke up and then they became singles, yeah.
Honestly, we should make it an A just because Team 3D, in part with AMW and a few others, gave TNA one of the most memorable goddamn segments they've ever had. When you talk about TNA, that funeral segment comes up every time.
I'm okay with making them an A then.
Like, just for the memory alone, yes.
Alright, I'm cool with that.
Like, I don't know who was producing the segments back then, but they did a bang-up job on that. And there were several of them that were like that. Like, TNA at that point was really hitting its stride in terms of just everything. Mm-hmm. And then it all fell apart. Alright, we're going to take it over to the ladies. Now we're going to talk about some of the fine women that helped carry Impact forward and create the women's division that was just nothing short of badassery. And we can't talk about TNA without talking about the beautiful people.
The beautiful people. Let the pigeons loose.
I have to give this an A just because at the time that they did the beautiful people, it was when they started it. And I didn't see the whole run of it because there were multiple incarnations of it. But the original run of the beautiful people was absolutely groundbreaking when they did it. Nobody had anything like it to the point that WWE duplicated it.
Attempted to
with Lay Cool. Like, just what they did with it was incredible. And it brought eyeballs to the product. It was so well done. So to me, the beautiful people, at least in the original form, were A.
Oh, 100% A. Honestly, no. S.
Yeah, I can do S. Let's do S tier.
Yeah.
Let's S tier that shit.
They 100% S tier. It's the beautiful people.
Yeah.
Like, they innovated. They Velvet Sky and Jillian Love, they were great. They were a must-see attraction.
Yes, they were the ones.
For more ways than one. But they were really good.
Again, it was one of those things that just nobody else had done anything like it. Nobody. None of the other promotions out there were doing anything like it. And the beautiful people really kind of started a revolution in terms of women's wrestling and significance of women in wrestling.
Brant, stop. We clarified what we said. Stop. Next team. Or next person.
And since we're talking about foundations of the women's division, and people who reinvented themselves, and people who just carried the hard carry of the Impact Wrestling, TNA Wrestling, women's division, Gail fucking Kim. S tier. She is S tier. All the way. Will not accept any criticism on that whatsoever.
Her second run was better than her first.
I will give you that.
Because she was still finding herself in her first run before she went back to WWE. When then she came back from WWE, she took off and really became a thing.
Because she had a chip on her shoulder, I think, the second time. Because, like, she went to Impact. She reinvented herself in Impact. She found her stride a little bit in Impact. And then WWE was like, okay, all right, come back. We'll do all the things for you. And then they didn't do that for her. And so she was like, okay, F this. I think they released her. And she went back to Impact, and she was like, let's fucking do the thing.
Yeah, WWE did release her, yeah.
And so she went back to them with a chip on her shoulder, and she just really, really took off from there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Gail Kim is one of the foundations of really the women's revolution in terms of Impact Wrestling and the wrestling business as a whole, because basically Gail Kim was a part of that original group that made women's wrestling completely relevant in 2007, 6, 7, somewhere in there,
yeah.
She made it must-see, and WWE saw that and was like, oh, snap. And that helped to push WWE in terms of what Impact was doing, because it was making Impact do better for the fact that they had made the women relevant. They were pushing the women. People wanted to see them.
Mm-hmm.
Versus WWE, who had the Diva era, and they weren't doing anything with their women. And that kind of helped spark the women's revolution in WWE. I go back and forth on this one, but oh god, ODB.
She was a good character. She had great moments, especially the Eric Young stuff.
The wedding.
The wedding was great. B.
I can give you a B. ODB was kind of one of those that she was really good. She was really entertaining, but I feel like she was kind of always the bridesmaid, never the bride, for the women's division. Because did she ever get the title?
ODB?
Brent, did she ever get the title?
This is where I'm, like, thinking, I think she got it once.
Yeah, like, they had several opportunities to make her the champion, and I don't think they went for all of them. I want to say she got it once.
Four times.
Oh, four times? Okay. Then they must have been later, because she was with them for a really, really long time. She was another one of those that stayed through the dark times, and...
She got it in 2009, 2009, 2010. They were all quick.
Okay, yeah. You can tell they're so memorable.
One was 2 days. One was 91 days. One was 13 days. And then got back in 2013 for 38 days.
Yeah. She was kind of one of those that, like I said, it's you can tell how memorable it was. It just, they could... She was a really great character. She was really entertaining, but they just... I don't know. They just never really did much with her. So, yeah. I can justify B. All right. Awesome Kong. I want to make her an A.
Yeah. That's where I was going. She's not S.
But she was a dominant force in the women's division, and everybody was goddamn terrified of her. And she's just badass.
Yeah.
She was another one of those that really made the division relevant. Okay. Tara.
Former guest of the show. Matt was the one who told us to... Matt Goldberg was the one who wanted us to talk to her because of Terrified, or Terrified, whatever, I think that's how it was called. His original movie.
Super sweet.
Mm-hmm. She's a great person.
I think she has to go A or S, because she's another one of those that she came in, she reinvented herself, and she really ran the division with
Awesome Kong, with Gail Kim, with the beautiful people.
Yeah, she really helped to put it on the map. So I have to go A or S. What are your feelings?
She's between a B or an A for me. Because if we're going with Gail Kim and beautiful people as the S, she's not S. She's more closer to between ODB and Awesome Kong.
Okay, go A.
That's fine. I'm just, like, when you look at it like that, there, better. When you position it like that, that's how you have to judge it.
Yeah.
She's not Gail Kim level. She's not ODB. She's like right a step above ODB with Awesome Kong.
I mean, I can look at that. Okay. This next one. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. This next one. You know what? We're going to rank her last.
Who are we moving?
Number 12.
You got rid of it. I don't see the name.
Look down at 45.
Oh. Yeah. That's fine.
We're going to do her last.
Because
I don't want to do her in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The clusterfuck that was aces and eights.
Okay.
Oh, this storyline.
Okay. I like the aces and eights. Did it trail off and go in 10,000 different directions? Yes. Did it make Bully Ray? Yes.
Yes.
Did it spawn the whole Wes Briscoe thing on this show? Yes.
Yes. Wes Briscoe's pants, salute. I liked it up until we had the Brooke Hogan shit, and then it was like, I'm done with this, but...
I liked the Brooke Hogan shit because it was stupid.
This proved, like you said, this made Bully Ray as a single star. Nobody bought Bully as a singles guy. Everybody saw him as a tag guy with D-Von. Nobody believed Bully Ray could be a top guy as a singles, and he absolutely proved them wrong with this. He was fantastic in the aces and eights, and he really had a coming into his own in Impact with this storyline, because when he got revealed as the leader of aces and eights, it was like,
oh
yeah, I was like, okay, all right, I'm willing to go down this road with you. Okay. And he just absolutely owned it.
Yeah.
But for everything it was, I have to make it like a B or a C. Just for all the meandering and all this, the way that it ended and the fact that, you know, I think it went on too long.
Yeah, it went too long when you had Mr. Anderson and all the people involved. Yeah. I'm going B.
Okay, I can give you a B. That's fine. Oh, God. Oh, no.
Yeah. Wonderful, yes. It's an A.
Broken Matt Hardy.
It's an A.
Really? Actually, you're going to only go an A?
Actually, no. We'll go S. We can go S.
Okay. I mean, for as much as I hate it.
It's an S.
It's an S. It was groundbreaking. It was innovative. Nobody had it. Nobody was doing it. And everybody wanted it because it was so stupidly popular because it was stupid. everybody, like, from just, like, the just the final deletion, just the way it was shot, just everything, like, to the point that, like, WWE, again, tried to duplicate it. They signed Matt specifically to get the Broken Universe and do a final deletion on their terms. And I, no offense to WWE, they did a good job, but it wasn't as good because it literally didn't look like it was shot with like a phone in a backyard with shaky cam and everything.
Yeah, the multiple cinematic features that Impact Wrestling did with the Broken Universe was really good. Because there were, what, three of them?
There were three of them. Honorable mention to Jeremy Borash for that.
Yeah.
Because Jeremy Borash was behind producing those with Matt and Jeff and everybody. He would go out to the house and they would film it. Like, JB actually created a way to film that with drones. Like, he innovated a way to shoot that.
So Brant, no, it's not Matt Hardy. It's broken Matt Hardy.
Matt Hardy.
On our sheet, it's broken Matt Hardy.
It's not Matt Hardy, because for the majority of his Impact run, he was actually broken Matt Hardy.
The run that got him over and kept him relevant was broken Matt. That's what we're ranking. And he was a guest on this show as well.
That was the most difficult interview I've ever had to do.
Yes! Wonderful!
He did the entire thing in character. And I had to mute myself because I was laughing the whole entire goddamn time.
Wonderful! Isn't it delightful?
Like, because we were sitting here, Ed, we were talking, and it's like, is he going to do this in character? Like, are we getting Matt Hardy or are we getting broken Matt Hardy? And he got on the phone and he was super chill and then he just went right into it.
Yeah.
right into it.
Yeah. So,
and it's like, I'm not going to be able to do this.
And you did. So, as we have broken Matt, Brother Nero, I knew you'd come.
Oh, I want to give Jeff an A.
Jeff is an A for his run in Impact Wrestling.
For Brother Nero specifically, though, I mean, I'll give it an A. But yeah, Jeff Hardy overall is an A in Impact.
He's an A minus, yeah.
There are some things.
There are moments we talked about earlier.
That kind of take it down a little bit, so that's why he's not as tier. He had a lot of trouble in this time as well, so that kind of goes against him. But
the fall of grace kind of led to brokenness.
This what this did for both Matt and Jeff was it proved that they could be single stars on their own. Like, everybody had only seen them as really tag guys, and this proved that Jeff could be a single star, which he had kind of done in WWE, but this just took it over the top, and then it really proved that Matt could just break free and do his own thing and not just be Matt Hardy. He could be broken Matt Hardy.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Okay, are you good?
Yes.
Taryn Terrell.
A.
Yeah, she's an A all the way.
From where she started to where she became, she improved greatly. She had a great character, and her feud with Gail Kim was pretty epic.
Yeah, it was. She's another person that she found, like, that's going to be true for a lot of people on this list. She found herself an Impact. She had the breathing room to be able to find a character that worked for her, to find the right feud, to tell the right story, to do all the right things. And it did wonderful things for her. So yeah, absolutely A tier. Okay. Mickie James.
Hardcore country.
We gotta go S tier, right?
I was thinking A, but if you think S, we can go S.
She's one of the hard carries of the company. And Mickey, again, this is another person who found herself in the company. Who really broke out of being the stalker or the bubbly chick. And she did the hardcore country stuff. Let's not forget, James Storm also killed her on the train tracks. Way back when, a couple years ago.
Allegedly.
Mickey is kind of one of those that she came in, was stayed through the dark times, and she went back and forth between WWE and Impact, but she really helped to make the division relevant, and she helped to keep the division relevant. So to me, and just some of the epic feuds that she's had and some of the epic matches that she's had, I feel like she deserves to be S tier.
I'll give you that. Where do you see Tony Schiavone? Ash, there's no Tony Schiavone. Anyway, we'll continue on.
I was gonna say, anyway, Amazing Rhett.
Very talented. Injuries kind of buggered him up.
Yeah.
I'm putting him as a C.
I can give you that. He also wasn't in the TV era very long. He left and he came back later on down the line, but he wasn't around long.
Okay.
Okay, so we're just
going to... Just put him in S. It's AJ Styles.
Yep. Him. Next one.
There's no explanation needed as to why AJ Styles is S tier on this list, and if you need an explanation, then I will pray for you.
All right, put the other next one up there, too.
Samoa Joe is S tier. I mean, Joe came out of ROH. He was a big signing for Impact. There's that iconic moment with Kurt Angle when Kurt Angle came into the company and they both bloodied each other just by knocking heads. Like, Joe was a dominant force in Impact for a super long time. And then he left. But yeah, Samoa Joe is S tier. Christopher Daniels, Fallen Angel.
The best in the business.
I want to make him an A or a B. Just because he was someone who could continue to reinvent himself, and he was a workhorse for that company. I mean, he gave us how many characters in his run?
Yeah.
Like, we got the Fallen Angel, we got, what was the name of the tag team? Him and Kaz.
Yeah, what was the name of the tag brand? Appletini. What was
Appletini?
It?
Appletini!
Most favorite guests we've ever had on the show.
Oh my god, Christopher Daniels is amazing.
He's the best, one of the best guests we've ever had.
Love him so much. But yeah, no, he was another one of those that I really wish he had gotten to the world title more often, just because he is so charismatic and he's so talented and he's so good at what he does.
Bad influence, thanks.
Bad influence, thank you, yes.
But it's a B.
Okay, I can give you that.
Like, he's B plus, but yeah. Just based, again, it's basing it on who's left.
Yeah. All right. Triple X. This is one of Daniels' initial tag teams.
Prime time. Elix Skipper. Low key. With the deepest of voice.
Oh my god, you would never expect that voice to come out of low key.
They're a B or a C.
I could give them a B. They were right there with the Naturals. They weren't around very long in the company in terms of being together once they hit TV. They were more of a Fairgrounds group. But they were one of the things that helped to make this tag division and Impact stand out. Because they did the cage match, I want to say, with AMW.
It's Elix Skipper walking the top of the cage.
Yeah, it's one of those really iconic spots. So, they're B. Alright, other half of Bad Influence, among many other things, Frankie Kazarian, another favorite guest of this show.
See?
I love Frankie, but yeah. Like, you know what pisses me off? Is like the one group that I really loved in TNA that they never, ever, ever did anything with was Serotonin. I was one of the only people that liked it, but I thought it was a really cool thing that they did.
Mm-hmm. All right, next.
Michael Shane!
Because when you hear Frankie Kazarian, you think Michael Shane.
He was really kind of more of a manager, as I remember. Like, I don't really remember him wrestling much.
I'm getting rid of D because I don't want to put anyone in D. So he's
yeah,
C.
Nobody's really a D on this list. I would say he's a C.
Yeah, he's a C. Because he's the lowest of the spectrum. But yeah. All right, next.
Up next, we have the man, the myth, the legend, the founder, Jeff Jarrett.
The king of the mountain.
The king of the mountain. The true hard carry of TNA Impact.
He's S tier, right?
He's S tier, yeah. For everything he gave to that company, he is S tier.
Literally, he gave everything.
Yeah, he bankrupted himself. several times, actually. For TNA. So, yeah, he's S tier. Following on those coattails, Kurt Angle, who had a career renaissance in Impact Wrestling. I kind of want to go S tier with him.
He's A or S. I'll go...
He was their really one of their first super big signings. Like, remember when Angle showed up and everybody was like, holy shit.
When he appeared on the end of that pay-per-view in the pre-tape vignette. It's true. It's real. It's damn real. Yeah. God, fuck.
Like, you got chills from that. You were like, oh my god, Impact got Angle. Because this was at the point where, like, they were still super small and they hadn't grown much, and Angle was like one of the first people to come over to Impact. One of the really big stars to come over to Impact, because he was coming off his WWE run. He was having some problems at the time. But he was one of the first people to come over. And yeah, like just that moment with Kurt Angle when he signed and everything he did in that company. Would you stop?
He was a heel. He was a face. He did everything in that company. But no, like for me and you, this was a moment because of the reactions we heard when it happened with the boys back in the day.
Wait, what were you talking about? I was yelling at my weather alert radio. What? Are you talking about the WNL thing? No, that's something different. What?
Hello?
Yeah, the Wrestling News Live thing.
Oh, yeah.
The Wrestling News Live thing. Yeah, anyway.
Okay, so I'm just going to... That they're going to... Okay. So they're going to keep setting it off, like, at intervals, because this stupid storm is just sitting over my county right now, and it won't move. It started out over my house, and it's just, like, expanding, and it won't push off. So they're going to keep setting this thing off. How long does the warning last this time? 12:15 a.m., so it's going to go off again in 45 minutes.
Let's keep going, then. No, it's a moment, like, for us, just internet radio-wise. That's the whole deal behind it.
Oh, yeah. It was just amazing.
It was a
moment. Anyway.
It was a moment.
It was a moment. Speaking of moments.
Yeah.
Christian Cage.
He's A tier.
Yeah.
Right there with the Team 3D. He found himself as a single star, breaking away from WWE, and would later go on to become ECW champion and world champion back in WWE. But Christian was undefeated for a long time in TNA.
He was a man in TNA. Like, he proved that he could be a single star, and what was great for him was it got him out, no offense to Edge, but out of Edge's shadow. Because he was always Edge's, like, best friend, or he was always Edge's little buddy. So, yeah, like, this was a reinvention for him on so many levels. So, yeah, this is good. Okay, so we're going to do the next four kind of together.
Six,
yeah, the next six kind of together because they're all going to get named together, so it might as well just talk about them. So, in this order, we're going to talk about James Storm, Beer Money,
no,
America's Most
no,
Wanted.
Hold on, it's Beer Money!
Money!
There you go.
America's Most Wanted, Bobby Roode, Team Canada, and Eric Young. Okay. I'm just going to say this. America's Most Wanted and Team Canada, I have to make an A or an S.
Team Canada is an A. America's Most Wanted, low S. Beer Money, S.
Beer Money is S tier.
Put them together. Roode as a solo, I say is an A.
Yeah, I can give you that.
He's with Christian and Dudley's and all that. Who's the other one?
James Storm.
I would say as a single, he's an A.
Mm-hmm.
They were, though, the foundation of TNA wrestling. All of them.
All of them. And EY?
EY, he's an A. Great, great person. Off the hook, extreme catches. I found the DVD.
Another one of our favorite guests.
I found the DVD, like, a few months ago.
Did you?
It's in the drawer somewhere. Off the hook, extreme catches. Yeah, they're awesome. That's all I can say about them. So that's where they belong.
Again, it's kind of one of those things where Team Canada, AMW, they were the foundation of not only TNA, they were the foundation of the TNA tag division, especially in the TV era. Like, Team Canada was unfucking beatable. Like, you hated Team Canada. With Scott D'Amore at the helm? Oh, God. You just wanted them to go away. And, like, Petey Williams, when he hit the Canadian Destroyer, that was fucking it. Like, it was over.
Back before doing the Canadian Destroyer was a meme, it was a thing back in late 2000s.
No, early. This was, like, mid to early.
I'm talking, like, in the early, like, 05 to 08, right there.
Yeah.
Mid to late. Lindsay wouldn't exist with an online profile without America's Most Wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. That's 90% of, like, me still being into wrestling is because of James Storm. It's all his fault. Because
she was, at one point, the original Cowboy Chick.
Yeah. And they're fun to drink with. Anyway, so, but yeah, it's like America's Most Wanted at the time. They really were new school, old school tag team wrestling. They were the faces of the company. They just took things to the next level. Like, Storm and Harris, just the way that they worked together was absolutely fantastic. But a part of the problem with that was that it kind of hurt James Storm later on down the line, because I think people just viewed him as a tag team guy. And he sort of struggled a little bit in terms of finding single success. He eventually did. Mm-hmm. But, like, he always was kind of a better tag guy. Because he proved that with not only with Chris Harris, but with Bobby Roode as well, where he and Bobby just, like, did beer money. And beer money was just stupidity, but it was fantastic stupidity. Like, you had James rolling around on a fucking motorized cooler drinking beer, and Bobby just being Bobby, and together they were just a dominant tag team. And then Bobby Roode as a champion, like, I remember when they made Bobby Roode champion, and it was this huge moment. Because it's like, are they or aren't they with Bobby? Are they going to go there with him? And Bobby did a lot of work on himself to get himself to be on that level. And he was able to push through. And when it finally happened for him, it was a fantastic moment. Same thing for James. When James finally won the world title, it was just like absolutely glorious when it happened. Yes, I know what I did there. Don't judge me. Anyway, but what I remember about, especially the era and watching Impact, especially when it first started, were the wars between, like I keep saying, the Naturals, AMW, Triple X, Team Canada. Mm-hmm. Like, those were your four teams. And then 3D showed up. And then, like, just the tag division in Impact was so damn strong for a long time that you loved everything about it.
By the way, congrats to the Golden State Warriors for winning the NBA championship. GG's. All right, who's next on our list?
Up next on our list, we have Raven.
Quote the Raven. Okay, he was actually pretty influential in TNA early goings on. He was like a big get when he jumped from WWE to Impact or to TNA in 2002-2003. That time period, he actually played a pivotal role in the growth of the company. He was a former NWA champion with them. He's a B. But he was a big get for them in the early stages of the company.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I can give you that.
Who's next?
Okay. Just make him S tier. Abyss.
Yep.
Good lord. For all the pain, for all the suffering, for all the stupidity that he did in that company. Abyss, the original monster, absolutely deserves to be S tier. He's another foundation of the company. He just, when you had Abyss show up, you knew it was about to just go down. And honestly, the way that character was portrayed, the way that he played it, just so all the just really kind of fucked up shit they did surrounding Abyss, absolutely S tier.
All right, so I know how it's sorted on the list. James Mitchell.
I'm going to say he's an A or B, because James Mitchell was another one of those faces that he was very integral to Abyss's story, but he was integral throughout Impact's history, because he was there way, way back in the Fairgrounds days. He managed the new church. He managed a whole bunch of people. He was really one of Impact's only managers that they had, like full-time managers. And there was nothing like him. Like, you saw James Mitchell roll up and you're like, oh God, it's you, but oh God, it's you. It's about to get good. Like, he's just that talented. So for me, he's A tier.
Yeah, I'll put him in A.
And we can't forget about our boy, Joseph Park.
Before we go to Joseph Park, I need to correct Ash. Raven was in WWE before WCW got bought out.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make that point clear. You have your facts wrong. Joseph Park is the man. The character, the way he played that character was fantastic. One of my favorite interviews we've ever done.
I loved it so much. I loved interviewing him.
Like, he was tremendous. For those who don't know, Abyss, Joseph Park was the brother of Abyss.
In quotations.
And brother. You know, sort of like Elias Ezekiel.
Gee, I wonder if he has any influence over that.
I wonder. thinking about it now. He's an A. Because the character is great.
Just all the stuff they did with Joseph Park, all the memes, everything that came out of it. It was just glorious. It's an A. Because it was a way to reinvent Abyss in a way that nobody had ever thought of. That you just take him and you clean him up and you have him walk around as Joseph Park, Abyss's younger brother. Like, who's a lawyer, a mild-mannered lawyer. Like, nobody ever would have thought of that. It was just perfect.
All right.
Shark Boy.
Oh, Shell, yeah.
You know what? He's a B.
He's a B. He's actually a C, but we'll give him a B.
Just for the oh, Shell, yeah. Let's give him a C.
Shocker boy.
Or a B. Because he, like, didn't he get a cease and desist for that, too? Like, he was doing Austin too well, and yeah. They were like, yeah, no, you can't do this.
Shark Boy is a wrestler? Eh. Shark Boy is. Oh, Shell, yeah. Great.
Shark Boy was a weird one. Like, he was just a weird one.
Yeah.
Like, they never quite did a lot with him. Like, they would and they wouldn't. They would run very hot and cold with him. It was weird. All right. The Motor City Machine Guns.
They're B.
Yeah, they're B. But they're very talented.
They're very talented. Them working with Nash with Paparazzi Productions too.
Oh, that was fantastic.
That was fantastic. But they're very talented. Still rock and roll, and I know Saban is at least. Shelly's in and out. But yeah, they're B.
Okay. Ethan Carter the Third. EC3.
Trouble, money. Trouble.
I will give credit where credit is due. This is an A or a B for me, because I hated the character when it started, but he won me over because he just did that good of a job with it.
He's an A tier. He's 100% an A tier.
Like, this was just a coming out party for him in every way.
Yeah. Dirk Bateman died for EC3 to grow. He was a great character. Him, and we'll just throw him in there now, Rockstar Spud, who I would say is either an A or a B.
I would give Spud a B.
Okay, Spud's a B, but the two of them working with each other, playing off one another, helped both men grow as characters and as people. Whatever EC3 is doing now, that's EC3 now. What he was then, he was trouble. He was money. He was the nephew in story of Dixie Carter, thus Ethan Carter the Third. He was fantastic. He could talk the talk and walk the walk when he needed to.
Alrighty. Mr. Anderson.
Anderson. Kennedy is a C.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Like, he had the potential to be more, and he did just like his WWE run. Could have been more. Wasn't.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Ding!
Oh, we skipped everyone? Okay.
Yeah, we'll go back.
Okay. The Stinger, the Icon, the Foundation. Impact Wrestling, TNA Wrestling would not exist without Sting. He's what got them. They tried forever to get him. Jeff tried to worked on him forever. They got him to make a couple appearances at the fairgrounds and in that era. But Spike TV went, hey.
Here's a shit ton of money.
Sign him. We will put you on television. He is the reason they got on television, stayed on television. He is S tier because he was the biggest influence in keeping the brand afloat for a very long time.
Yep.
He's right there with Kurt. They're doing the same pose in the picture too.
You know, like you do. My only real criticism of Sting is I feel like Sting kind of represents an era in TNA where they made a lot of really big steps, but they were steps that ultimately hurt the company in the long run. So I feel like in a lot of ways, and he's not responsible for it, but he kind of is like him coming in as sort of representative of like people like Booker T and Kevin Nash, although Nash was already there, but like Booker T and some of the others coming in, and you had a lot of these really big money contracts start to get signed. And that's what hurt the company overall, was they had a lot of these big money contracts that they had to honor, and they actually lost talent like AJ kind of as a result, because they couldn't afford to pay someone like AJ. So AJ went off to Japan and did his thing and formed the Bullet Club, and that's how that all happened.
Mm-hmm.
So Sting is kind of like, at least to me in my mind, representative of kind of when that whole era started. So I don't have the best memories of Sting from that time, but I absolutely 100% agree that he deserves credit for the fact that he helped TNA get on TV. He was with TNA really till almost the bitter end. I mean, he stayed with them a lot longer than he needed to, and he was behind them and he supported them. So yes, absolutely. All of his contributions, everything he did, he is definitely S tier for sure. Rhino.
C.
Okay.
I like Rhino, but he's C. Compared to everyone else on this list and the influence they had on the company, while he was a good big star for them and was a company man, did all the things and still doing things for the company, he's not in the star power of anyone we've just talked about.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way it is.
All right, Rob Van Dam.
Did you know he's the whole effing show? He's Rob.
No.
He's Rob Van Dam. He's the whole effing show. He had the greatest steam thongs in TNA history.
He did.
Rob Van Dam. The whole fucking show. That's all it was. And they were just saying like different words. And it's like, Rob Van Dam. The whole fucking show. It's so good. So, so good. He's A or B.
I have to give him an A.
Yeah, he's Rob Van Dam.
He's Rob Van Dam.
Rhino was,
okay.
Rhino was never WCW.
He was ECW.
He was ECW. Anyway, there's one left.
Okay, we saved her for last because there's so much to talk about here. Dixie Carter, the person that saved Impact, and it would not be here without her, but also tried to kill it. So it almost wasn't here because of her. You know, Dixie, do I think Dixie made some of the best decisions? No. Do I think she's a lovely person? From the times that I've met her, yes, she's a very nice person. I almost want to make her S tier just because she is so integral to the history of that company overall. And the fact that she was one of the first, if not the first, female wrestling promoters out there, especially with a televised product.
Mm-hmm.
That was completely innovative. Nobody had that.
Dixie Carter is S tier in terms of being an owner, a financier, and also for willing to get in the ring and do the big payoff with Bully Ray.
Yep.
By going through the table.
Yep.
She didn't need to, but she knew she had to. And that made her S tier.
Also the Claire Lynch stuff.
Anyway, so that's her.
So that's our tier list. Do you agree, disagree? Would you rank them different? Let us know. You can tweet us. Where can they tweet us, Rob?
At Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, do all the things. The same places you can drop questions for Ask the Rack, which is next Thursday night on 6/23/22/10. But we're done?
We're done, so you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
As mentioned, Ask the Rack on 10. So get your questions in. We'll take them live. So if you have random stuff you want answered, we'll answer it live. You can tweet us as well. It doesn't matter. We'll throw it all together and make it happen. Cool. We don't do it often, but you can ask us all the wrestling, old wrestling questions. We'll give as best answers as we can. I can probably go older than Lindsay can, so if you have an old WCW question you want answered, I'll try to answer it.
I started watching wrestling in 2000.
That gives you your answer. But sports, video games, whatever, we'll talk about it. Answer it all. 10 p.m. Eastern for 10. God, this music. Next Thursday night. Oh, memories. Anyway, Saturday night, midnight is another edition of CB Radio. Before that's Fortnite with friends, and hopefully Fortnite is not as sweaty. Sunday night, it's WTR, Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, it's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Will the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Returns? If we can find the episodes, it will. They said they were going to do a thing, and they haven't done a thing, so that's all dependent on them. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern for 10. The Rack turns 10, 6, 23, 22, 10. Get it? Ask the Rack. Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms, wherever you get your podcasts. But that's Amazon Music, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Just do the thing. If you have that Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code Rockinsock or
Lens and Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. You can buy your new Spooderman skin with an emote and all the things and a pickaxe, and whether in case you don't want to buy the comic. It's all available now. Why? Because we're a hashtag Epic Heart.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, L-N-S-W-R-D. You can follow my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. You can also check me out on YouTube, lynnsward.rockradioshow.com, or just look for Lynn's Ward on the YouTubes. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211.
Silver Rock, I'm Lizzie Ward, and you've been listening to the Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Remember, next week, next Thursday, we turn 10. Ask the Rock. Get your questions in. You don't want to miss it. So, till then, you're listening to the Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll see you later. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.